You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 49. I'm John, and tonight we have a Scottish Cup semi-final special. So, first up, we have Aberdeen Celtic on Saturday. So we've got regular Erin. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Looking forward to a break from the league.
Aye. And then we have Celtic fan Michael on. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back. Nice to be here. Nice to see everyone again.
Aye. I mean, I wasn't sure whether to have you back, because, I mean, this is getting ridiculous in terms of our guests that you steal. I mean, come on. Which leads us nicely on to, we've got Andy representing Rangers. How are you doing?
Doing well, John. As usual, great to be on. Thanks for having me on.
Aye, pleasure as always. And Graham, I don't blame you at all for any of this. I know it's all Michael's doing, because I can see that big smirk on his face, which the viewers are very lucky not to see. But how are you, Graham?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me back on. It's much appreciated.
No worries. We will give you guys a plug as well, because Michael and Graham, you will be doing a preview on Friday of the Scottish Cup games. Obviously, it'll not be as good as ours, but I mean, it'll be decent.
And Andy's on as well.
And Andy is on, aye. Who else you got? You any Aberdeen fans on?
Not at the moment, no.
Moment, no.
I wanted a Hibs fan on, but apparently that can't happen for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, that's where we are like better, eh? Because we've got a Hibs fan on, because we like doing that. Charlie, how you doing?
Not good, John, not good. Hibs wise, but other than that, I'm good.
Well, I mean, we should start off by saying your weekend was looking like it could have been a decent weekend. You had Friday night, you had an Edinburgh derby. Pardon me, Dave and you were at the game. Safe to say it never went how you would have liked.
It did not, but it was nice to be on media duties. I was two seats away from the Celtic women manager and about 10 away from the Rangers women manager. So I was in esteemed company, as well as being with Dave as well.
Good atmosphere at the game?
That was all right. It's hard when you're in the middle of it, because you can usually hear the Hibs fans, but they were quiet, and there was no atmosphere for the Hearts fans, even when they scored. So, but it was all right. Nice to be there, and nice to see some decent goals, although not in the right colours.
Aye. Disappointing as well, in terms of obviously Hearts going down to 10, and then not taking advantage of it.
Aye. It was a strange game for Hibs. Starting lineup was weird. Couldn't string two passes together, but aye, we move on.
Aye. So we've got a new features now on YouTube. We call it Chaz and Dave. So it's our own version of Chaz and Dave, with Chaz and Dave on the road show. So you did get a couple of interviews after the game with Hearts head coach Eva Ollard and goal scorer Megan Bell. So, I believe Dave and yourself spoke to them, and we shall pass over to you guys now, which is weird because we'll be passing back to you, Charlie, when we're speaking on here. But over to you.
Scottish Football Forums podcast after Hearts 2 Hibs 0. Megan Bell, great strike. What's that with that?
Thank you very much. I just hope that I would get it on target. There's a wee bit of wind, so I'm delighted and to contribute to a really good win for the team. It's amazing.
Did you always think you were going to go for a goal?
Yeah, well, I do like hitting a wee free kick, so I just thought if I get it on target, I'll give myself the best chance, so yeah.
Yeah. How far out was it? Was it about 35?
30-35? Yeah, probably about 30, I don't really know. Yeah.
Yeah. That big win for the team tonight.
Yeah, massive. Obviously, it's the first one of the season. And I think going down to 10 men, we could have given up, but it just shows the resilience of the team and the quality that we have, even when we went down to 10 men, that we could still push on and get the win.
That's the thing, I mean, McGovern opened the score and then just got sent off, and still, you still had your shape and you still had that intensity about you.
Yeah, I think you have to work really hard when you go down to 10 men, and we've done that. We stuck together, we stayed tight as a team, and we've got the rewards for it.
Yeah, a big win, because it's the first Edinburgh Derby win of the season.
Yeah, that's what they said in the huddle there, that we said before the game that we wanted to get 3 points from the game, a lot, so coming away from the game with the 3 points, it feels a lot sweeter.
You're, get the feel that you're enjoying the football here.
Yeah, look, I'm enjoying playing every week. Everyone around the club and everyone at the club has been really good to me, really nice to me, and I'm glad that I can play a part in a good victory.
Obviously, you've come from a club that's going to be challenging for the title. And we spoke to Gavin Beef before the game tonight, and he was like, we want to play a part in the title race.
Yeah, I think hard set out before the season that we wanted to finish fourth. And tonight is a really important win in trying to meet that objective, so yeah.
How's the international football going for you?
Great, we've just come off the back of a really positive camp, so I'm just glad that I could get on the score sheet in camp and back here tonight.
Your purple patch just now. You got a purple patch just now.
What does that mean?
You're scoring goals for fun.
Yeah, well, long may that continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So has it added more goals to your game in the latter stages of the season?
Yeah, look, I just want to contribute in whatever way I can, whether that be goals, assists, or generally just making things happen. So as much as I can play and contribute to the team, then I'm happy.
What makes the team tick just now? Is it the way you're playing? Is it the methods that you've set out there?
Yeah, I think we're playing with confidence. We're starting to really understand each other as a team, and everyone's working really hard for each other, and we've got a good morale. So I think all that put together, it can only be positive, and we're only going to get better the rest of the season.
Celtic, you'll be playing at Celtic Park next week. That must be exciting for you.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Obviously, I can't play midweek as hard to play Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to getting back on the grass next Sunday and hopefully get another positive result.
Yeah, the fact you're playing at Celtic Park, it's what women's football strives for, playing at these big venues.
Yeah, that's where you want to play your games at stadiums, and yeah, I think the girls and me were really looking forward to it.
It's quite a big victory in the barometer of your season, like what you want to achieve in terms of that fourth also knock at the door of the Glasgow teams.
Yeah, look, I think shows that we're here to prove a point, and as I said, we haven't won an Edinburgh Derby so far this season, so to go and win our first one, it really shows how much we've come on and where we are at this stage of the season.
Perfect. Thanks, Megan. To start things off, did you sign up for Hearts for this weather?
Yeah, well, we start with good weather, but now this is Scotland, like now raining, wind, but it's good.
Big win for the team tonight.
Yeah, totally. So happy. Was so key points. We prepared really well all the week to get these 3 points. I'm so happy.
I mean, you've not won an Edinburgh Derby this season, so it's something off your back.
Yeah, totally. Well, still, the derbies are always an important match, but it's a league match, 3 points, and still a lot of matches to play.
You've had 2 big results, Partick Thistle at Peter's Hill a few weeks ago, and this tonight. It shows that momentum's high within your team just now.
Yeah, I think we are stronger than ever this season. It's the point that we are in high level. You know, the teams always have downs, ups. Now we are in a very good shape. We have full squad practically, knowing just one injury, and it's important at this point keep the squad healthy.
On the game, Eva, I'd argue you played better with 10 players.
Yeah, I know, that is something we were commenting, that we start playing better with 10. Maybe the players know that have to work harder, and they did amazing.
Yeah, and then Megan Bell, what a strike for the second goal.
Yeah, this is the second free kick that she scored. And, well, she's so good. She came from the international break, and for that she didn't start, but when she came in, he helped a lot.
I mean, McGovern had an influence in the game as well with her goal. It was well taken, a great cross by Jessica Husband.
Yeah, exactly. She's 16 years old, and is a player with a lot of potential.
Yeah, perfect. That'll do for me, Eva. Thank you very much.
Right, okay. So, as we said at the start of the podcast, we are here for the Scottish Cup semi-final preview. Saturday sees Aberdeen face Celtic, 12:30 kickoff. Sunday sees Rangers play Hearts, 3 p.m. kickoff. So we shall start with the game on Saturday, obviously. Game so far this season. So Aberdeen face Celtic in the second game of the league season, finished 3-1 to Celtic at Pádraig. Second game was 12th of November, and Celtic won 6-0 at Parkhead. And then under Leaven and interim charge, 3rd of February, Aberdeen won, Celtic won. So, there's maybe a wee bit of hope. And obviously, Aberdeen have reserved maybe some of our better performances for the Cup. So, Erin, how optimistic are you going into Saturday?
Very, obviously, of course. You've got to be, haven't you? It's Cup semi-final. Anything can happen. A one-off. Got a draw. Four. I think we can do it. Celtic will have one eye on the league. I think we'll be all right. It's going to be peak Aberdeen to somehow get Europe this season. In the playoffs. And also we'll have to play Wednesday, Saturday, when we're doing the Cup final, because we'll be in the Championship playoffs. But never mind. We'll be fine. Absolutely fine.
Well, I think maybe the way the results are going recently, playoff might be, not to out with our reach, because you don't want to be in the reach of it, but you know what I mean? I think should avoid it. But selection-wise, obviously, Shinny is suspended. Who do you expect to play in midfield in place of him?
Worried about this. I would have Povara in for Barron, and I would have Phillips maybe in for Shinny. Don't think Conor Barron is particularly brilliant. Ryan Duncan came on Saturday and was very poor. Yeah, I don't know. Otherwise, I think the squad will be pretty similar. Peter Leaven seems to keep it fairly the same, I would say. He doesn't really change much around. We'll see. Graham Shinny obviously suspended the week after now as well, which is a nuisance. But yeah, I don't think we'll see a lot of change. I'd like to see Duke start again. I think it's better when you've got Duke and Majovski. Otherwise, Majovski ends up a bit isolated on his own. I don't think we'll see massive shocks, I don't think.
Andy and me were speaking before the podcast started in terms of like the approach that might be taken. Obviously, so far since Levin has taken interim charge again, it's been a case of kind of trying to make him hard to beat again, which not a bad thing. But can they afford to go into the game on Saturday with that approach? It's been hard to beat and then hoping to just get maybe one or two chances.
Yeah, I think we need to score early, ideally. We need to not concede anything stupid early, because I think if we concede early, we'll just panic and give up, and that'll be that. Yeah, hopefully no silly VAR decisions, no silly refereeing decisions. Hopefully Celtic will be thinking about the league now that Rangers have had a little slip and things are maybe looking more likely for them. I don't know. You just don't know. Like, I've been to Cup semis, we've won. Beat Rangers at Hampden. We beat Hibs and we weren't very good. Yeah, I don't know. It's a one-off, isn't it? You have to be positive, though. There's no point going thinking we're going to get absolutely battered today, because what's the point going? You have to be positive.
It is a one-off indeed, as you say. I mean, I've seen some crazy talk online about how what we're saying that, like, Aberdeen should qualify for Europe because it was terrible, but what approach does that take? I mean...
So I've seen people saying, like, oh, do you not think it'll be a distraction next season? And, like, if we won the Scottish Cup, we should turn it down. No, absolutely not. It'd be absolutely brilliant. If I was a Hearts fan, I'd be seething. Glorious.
I mean, this is something, obviously, Erin may have more experience. I've seen Aberdeen Twitter, like, Charlie, like, as a Hibs fan and Hibs Twitter, like, would there be such bizarre takes as that, like, for folks to say, oh, I'd be better off there? Obviously, you're not getting Europe right. But if you're in a position that Aberdeen were in, it's just crazy to say, no, better off, no Europe.
It's funny. It's funny, I remember when St Johnson beat us in that Scottish Cup final 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe. We'd finished third that season, and folk were saying, oh, I'd rather finish ninth and win the Scottish Cup. It's like, why? Like, we've got Europe. Cup would have been nice as well, but to throw away a third position to win a Scottish Cup is mental. Obviously, you want to win the Cup because it brings you in more money as a result, but I just think it's ludicrous.
I don't know if I've asked this on here before. I've asked a few people, because it came up when I was chatting to a Killy fan in the office, and I've asked a few people, and it's interesting. I would say most people, depending on which club you support, most fans of, like, certain clubs will say the same thing. So would you rather win the Scottish Cup and get relegated, or finish 10th, win nothing? And I said finish 10th, because we've never been down, so no way. Absolutely not. But Killy fan said he'd rather go down and win the Scottish Cup. And actually, a Hibs fan in the office said that as well. One of my pals, who is a Hearts fan, said they would take the Scottish Cup and go down.
I think we had a discussion before when Charlie was on, and Charlie was like, well, Hibs have been down before, so it was like, well, the cup, winning a cup's massive.
I think if you've not been down, so I think Aberdeen Celtic would say stay up. But I think other teams would probably say the cup. Because winning the cup is huge, of course it is.
Put it to Graham then, as a Hearts fan. Then.
Yeah, Graham, what would you rather? Win the Scottish Cup, or you get relegated? And you get relegated, or you stay up in 10th?
Having seen my team in the Championship a couple of times, I never want to be down there again. I want to win the cup. You know, it's been too long since the last won a cup, 2012. I want to see us win the cup again.
It is hard because I get the Championship as well, people say. And anyone has said to me, if I've said, oh, you know, we could go down, I'm a bit worried. Oh, Aberdeen, I'll walk that league anyway. Not necessarily. Look at Partick, Cali, Dundee United were there for ages. Rangers took two attempts to come up. It's not easy. You don't want to be down in the Championship. Stay away from there.
Right, let's ask like a bizarre question to Andy and Michael that you can't really kind of see happening, but we'll just ask it anyway, right? What would you rather, Andy? Rangers won a European trophy, or I think you got relegated. Would you take that? I mean, it'd be such a bizarre circumstance like that could possibly happen. It could be in a European final, but be facing relegation.
Yeah, win a European trophy. You know, we've had five attempts and won only one, which obviously isn't good enough record either. But as hard as it would be to take to get relegated, to win a European trophy, especially for myself to see us win it, it would be, you know, great. But again, being relegated wouldn't be obviously good for the club.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad.
I would take the European trophy in that circumstance. Three stars, that'd be brilliant. No one's ever going to match that.
Yeah. It's about a more of an extreme scenario than your one, Aaron, I suppose, because it's got more chance of happening. But Michael, what about yourself? Another European trophy, but you had to get relegated.
I'm the same as Andy. Obviously not for Rangers to win the European Cup. But no, it would be nice to see us getting to the final and winning as well. So, yeah, I would take that all day long.
See, for the pair of you, know, what if it's just the Conference League?
Doesn't matter. It's got a major cup.
I'm not sure, John, to be honest. I hate the European trophy, but obviously if it's the Champions League, it's a big one, isn't it? But Europa League, I suppose, as well. But well, I suppose, yeah, it's a European honour, yeah.
I suppose it doesn't matter what a cup competition is. You still want to win it.
Aye. I mean, it's never going to happen, realistically, but it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? Michael, Celtic... going out in the game, coming out of a wee bit of form.
Yep.
Going to Hobbs.
Yep. Yeah.
Players are coming back. Like McGregor, obviously, back on the bench the last couple of games. Palmer back on the bench on Saturday as well. I know you're missing Scales, probably likely to be missing on Saturday as well. But I believe Naroki had a good game on Saturday. Big blow with Maeda, obviously, been injured. Looking like he'll miss the rest of the season. How confident is the game?
He's out for the season, John. Massive blow. I think Celtic's got a kind of one of these doors at the moment, like one in, five out kind of thing, you know. But I think we're hitting peak form at the right time of the season. I think like our down patch was maybe December or maybe before December onwards. But I think we're a skanky hit form. But I'm still not really having a 90-minute performance. It's always bitty at the moment. It's always 45 minutes. Saturday was the same. Second half performance was brilliant. First half performance, people were saying, like, the wind. But I bit the professional football players at the end of the day. And I suppose, like, you've got to give credit to St Mirren as well. But I still not kind of hitting that 90-minute performance yet, but hopefully it'll come. But yeah, I'm happy the way it's going.
Do you think anything's changed over the last few weeks in terms of like Celtic? Obviously, it's scoring more goals, but what has there been any kind of noticeable changes that you've seen?
I think Brendan Rodgers has time to work with the the team as well. It's not what you would say walking football anymore, because obviously I couldn't remember the day that I was watching Celtic playing walking football. It was very passive at times as well. But now, like, we're starting to play our football. Maybe not there yet, maybe not reached our level yet, but we are kind of like getting there. So, yeah.
Atai being back, important as well. Michael.
Oh, sorry. Yep.
Atai being back as well, being influential.
Yeah. I mean, I was basically kind of, you know, we couldn't go to Ibrox without him, basically, because he's one of the key players that we've got. So I'm happy to see him back. But as I said, it's a funny season, John, because we, a bit like Rangers, like we've not had where for this team playing week in, week out. It's always like one in, five out injured for like a few months or whatever, but it's nice to see them back. And it's an important bit of the season, John, when you think about it, because like, we always say that it's the business end of the season. This is where the cups get handed out and all that, you know. So, I'm happy to see him back, happy to see McGregor back, even though everybody was saying to him, oh, he should get started, get Ibrox, but lo and behold, he came on and gave the go away.
You think the game on Saturday will see him return at the starting lineup alongside McGregor and it's already not alongside Hattati and O'Reilly?
I think
he'll ease himself back in.
I think maybe Saturday would be a good place to bed him in, because if I'm hearing rightly that the Rangers game will be the first game or the second game after the split, so I'll just be good to ease him into the game, maybe give him spot 6 to 5 minutes. But you've got to start the game with him. You can't afford to bring him on as a kind of like sub and ease him back into the team that way.
All right, go to the rest of you guys. Think McGregor will start on Saturday?
I think he will, aye.
Thank you, well, Charlie. Aye. Graham, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he will, and I think he probably should. You know, on his day, he's by far Celtic's best player. He's their leader. I think they need them. I mean, I do expect Celtic to beat Aberdeen anyway, but having McGregor in there just gives them that bit more, you know, added influence. I think he probably will start.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think Celtic have to start McGregor. You know, given the influence he has, he's the club captain. What it means to have him on the pitch, you know, and as you've said there, alongside the other two, Hattati and O'Reilly, and it's a big plus for Celtic, and also they're dictating playing the midfield without Aberdeen having Graham Shinney. It could prove to be a big difference in the midfield battle there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like speaking prior to like the game at Ibrox between Rangers and Celtic, and I was saying to you about McGregor being back and how concerned you were about the midfield, and it was certainly a big concern, so you must have been relieved that you never started that game.
Yeah, I was relieved to see him on the bench, but you know, Celtic have quality throughout the team, and you know, they obviously didn't miss him too much in that game. And I know he did come off the bench and was a fault for possibly one of the goals, but again, he drives the team on. Just his presence and his experience as a captain and as a football player as well.
Yeah. Right, we're back to him, sorry, Aaron. Again, Andy Moore speaking part of the podcast we booked with us. Can you see Aberdeen keeping a clean sheet on Saturday? Because I can't see Aberdeen scoring 2 goals in the game.
Can I see us keeping a clean sheet? No. 1-0, extra time and penalties. No, I can't be doing extra time and penalties. So we'll have to keep a clean sheet, won't we? Because we're not going to score 2. Well, yeah, 2-1. Could go 2-1. Yeah, I think we'll win 2-1. There you go. Said it. Yeah. Does anyone here at all think there's any chance Aberdeen are going to win on Saturday? No one.
I mean, I used to be pretty optimistic, right? But I just, I I've been to Hampden so many times and seen us lose semi-finals, and especially playing against Celtic at Hampden, it just brings out the fear, to be honest. Regardless of whether we're playing well or not. And they have started that a wee bit of form now at the right end of the season. As Michael said, when the kind of cups are getting handed out, Celtic do kind of up pace. I'd like to be proven wrong, but we shall see. Michael, what kind of prediction are you making for Saturday?
3-0 Celtic.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you've scored 3 goals every the last 4 games, so aye.
And we'll get a penalty. I'll go to VAR and they'll not give it. That's yeah.
Well, no matter if you're scoring 3 goals, it doesn't matter. Like,
I know, but as football fans, you want to score as many goals as possible.
Now, what you could do, right? I'll tell you a way to get a penalty, right? Borrow Tavernier from Rangers, and you're sorted.
Can I actually ask a question about the weekend's games? I've not seen that penalty yet that Rangers got. Yes, Andy will be able to confirm. Was it a penalty?
See, to be honest, when I seen it in real time, I thought so. And when I seen it back with the VAR instance, I still think it was. And I'm not talking through a Rangers perspective here. I just thought the guy's arm, he's like put, yes, he's in the air, but he's put his arm out towards the ball or out of a natural so-called position. But again, as we all know, nobody knows what a penalty kick is now. You know, that could be given as it was yesterday and in a game tonight or this weekend. It's the same instance, and it's not. No, you don't know what a penalty is. But again, why did he have to go to the screen? Why if VAR looking at it, why can they not just say, referee, give that or don't give it? Let's go on and looking at the screen. What's the point in having referees anymore then?
They'll get replaced by AI eventually, don't worry.
I know we're speaking about the cup, but are we allowed to speak about the weekend as well?
I was maybe going to save it.
Okay, we'll do the cup first and then we'll save the weekend, yeah.
Right, okay. Andy, Charlie, Graham, what kind of hopes do you give Aberdeen Saturday?
See, to be honest, John, and it's a massive task for Aberdeen, you know, given it's against Celtic and obviously history and semi-finals or finals haven't went well for Aberdeen against Celtic, but I think it's crucial Aberdeen stay in the game as long as possible, and I think it's key that Aberdeen try to score the first goal of the game. But if Aberdeen cope the way they did against Rangers in the first half at Hampden, I think they'll do okay. But again, it's whether the quality comes through early doors from Celtic. If Celtic score early, I think it could be 3 or 4. But, you know, Aberdeen need to stay in the game, possibly get the first goal. And it's a big miss there without Graham Shinney in the team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I understand your assessment. Graham?
Does anyone want us to win?
Of course.
Oh, other than Andy. Obviously, Michael won. Hips and hearts, do you want us to be Celtic? Hearts fans must.
To be honest, I would have done, but I don't, because if Aberdeen win the cup, then it means that Hearts don't get the guaranteed group stage European football. So I would rather Aberdeen didn't win.
Yeah, no, fair. I think, yeah, okay, yeah. I suppose that makes sense. Like when, do we want Celtic to win the Scottish Cup? Because annoying, but obviously didn't want Kelly to win it because I want my Europe. Yeah, fine. Okay. Charlie, are you supporting us?
If it's not Hibs there, and I don't care, to be honest. But to be fair, anyone but Hearts to win the cup is my shout, as always.
I think what Andy kind of says here about kind of saying in the game as possible, like you'll get criticised in terms of like being maybe negative against Celtic, but you've got to be disciplined, and you've got to like make sure that if you do get one or two chances, that you can at least take one of them. Because I don't expect there to be many chances. I don't expect it to be a kind of wide open game. Like your semi final, teams will be cagey. Much as they play each other, they know each other. Still, it's never be occasion. So, see what happens. Right, okay. I was talking earlier about doing a draft, so let's just do one, right? Okay. So, Michael, you've not done a draft before, right? Erin, you have experienced the draft before.
I have.
We'll go for the first semi-final, first of all, that we're talking about. So, Aberdeen v Celtic. And we will make the rule that you need to have a minimum of 4 players from each team, right? Okay.
But you can have more than 4, you can have more than 4 from the opposing team, can't you?
If you wanted, yes, you can, definitely. But you've got to have a minimum of 4, right? So, for those that don't know how the draft works, if somebody picks, so I'm going to just use an old school example, right? If it was Aberdeen Celtic, and in a situation where Shea Logan was still playing for Aberdeen, if Erin picks Shea Logan, Michael, you cannot pick Shea Logan, okay? Also, as well, think tactically about it. So if someone picks a keeper, you can only pick 2 keepers, so you don't need to pick your keeper till maybe later on, okay? Right. So going by alphabetical order, Erin, obviously you'll be first, based on your name and also Aberdeen, okay?
Yep. So, I will take William Mielski.
Right, so you...
Loyal.
As your number one pick. Right. Michael, who are you taking as your number one pick?
Carter Vickers.
Carter Vickers. Right, okay. Erin, back to you.
Bojan is going to play up front in a 2 with Kyogo.
Oh, beautiful. That'd be fun.
Goals are plenty.
Michael, who are you taking?
We are at Atati.
Atati, right?
Yep.
Now, Erin, you could be sneaky here. I know what I'd be doing in this situation.
Well, I was actually going to ask a question. Do they have to be eligible to play on Saturday?
No.
I'm going to take... Am I? No, do you know what? I will have Cal McGregor.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking in terms of being tactical, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Michael, again, think tactically about it. Like, think of also the positions that have been taken. Who are you going for next?
Adam Eder.
You're taking Adam Eder? Oh, I don't know if he's thought tactically about that one. It's like Erin's water strikers. It's a schoolboy Erin in the draft. You'll learn. You'll come on and do more of these and you'll learn. Right, Erin, who's next?
I'm going to take another Aberdeen player in midfield. I'm going to 4-4-2, by the way. It's my favourite. Everyone knows this. And I'm going to go Jamie McGrath.
So is he going in centre midfield? Is he going right at midfield?
He's probably going to play on the wing on the right, I would say.
Okay. I
think so.
Michael, who you got next? Are you watching any Aberdeen players? Are you keeping in the Celtic team just now?
He doesn't know any Aberdeen players.
I was trying to be nicer, Graham. but no. Who invited you in? No. Greg Taylor.
Greg Taylor, right, okay.
That is annoying.
Right, Erin.
I'm going to have Matt O'Reilly, please.
Oh, hi. Good pick. Right, okay. So Erin so far, I'll just say, has got 3 Celtic players. So she's almost done with our Celtic players, but she might be having more than 4 Celtic players. You never know. Michael, who are you picking next?
The oldest guy to play for Celtic, and it's not me, it's James Forrest.
Right, okay. I've never seen that one for it. I mean, are you what formation are you, by the way? You know yet?
No pass. I'm still working that one out.
Right, okay. And remember as well, like Erin asked a question about today to be eligible to play on Saturday. Just saying to both of you. Erin, who's your next pick?
In my 4-4-2, left back Liam Scales.
All right, okay.
He's been here before, he knows what he's doing, he'll be fine.
Right, okay. It's not what I was thinking that somebody might pick. Michael, who's your next pick?
I would go at Kuhn.
Right, okay, it's no need to be nasty. Erin, who is your next pick?
I'm going for my right back now. And I'm going to have Nicky Devlin.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, I mean, I reckon that might have been a wee Alistair Johnson steal, to be honest. But it's your team.
No, I'm being loyal to my team. I can't have...
Well, you weren't that loyal. No, that was bad. You were taking Celtic players galore. Don't you kid yourself, right? Do you want to remind Michael who's been taken so far?
Yeah, I'm getting old.
Right, Erin so far has got Nicky Devlin. She's got Liam Scales. She's got Jamie McGrath. She's got Matt O'Reilly. Charlie McGregor. Bojan Majewski. Kyogo. So a mixture of Celtic and Aberdeen players.
So seven. I need two centre-halves, a midfielder, and a keeper.
I mean, the keeper one's going to be fun for the pair.
Keeper, I don't want yours and you don't want ours, so no one wants the keeper. So,
Michael, so far, you have taken all Celtic players, Carter Vickers, Greg Taylor, Yo Hitati, Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Eder, James Forrest, right, okay? So, you need to get some Aberdeen players in, basically. And I'm trying to see where you're going to get these Aberdeen players in. Who are you picking? You don't need to. You can pick an our Celtic player just now and then think about your Aberdeen players. Like,
got to pick another old guy on the Aberdeen side, Johnny Hayes.
Thought you might. He knows you guys as well, like Scales and Hayes, loving life.
I did not see that coming, but again, maybe
you
like
should have. You should have known someone was picking Johnny Hayes.
He knows that side of the divide as well, so right, okay.
That's a good pick. Johnny Hayes is better than everyone thinks.
Was. Erin, who's your next pick?
I've got a question. Do we think Maeda can play in midfield?
Well, you can play left wing, I was expecting he might have been taken earlier, so
I would have him then, please, thank you.
I mean, you could also. Where your team switch from a 4-4-2 to a 4-3-3.
Yeah, true. I could.
During the game.
That is true. I could, depending on how well we're playing. Good point.
Yeah. Michael, you need to pick Aberdeen players now because you've got your 1-2-3-4. Yeah, you've got your 7 Celtic players, so you've no choice.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if Aberdeen's got a mascot, have they? sorry, that was a cheap joke there.
He can have one more Celtic player, I think, because Johnny Hayes is picked.
No. Yeah. Current teams.
Hayes counts for Aberdeen. So it's more Celtic player is allowed.
One more Celtic player. Right, okay. I'm gonna go with another old man, Joe Hart. Head and shoulders above the rest.
That's fine, but bizarrely, Adam Johnson is not going to be in this draft unless you're playing him at centre back or midfield. Erin, who's your next pick?
I'm going to take Angus McDonald at centre half, please.
Right. Okay. Rewind, and I never said like 2 minutes ago that you need to take all Aberdeen players, but now you do need to take all Aberdeen players. So, who's your next pick, Michael?
This is the longest game in history, by the way, John.
You in your thinking time. Every time I come at you, it takes 5 minutes for you to pick a player.
Has anyone said Duke yet? No?
No one has said Duke.
Good.
Okay.
So, right, I don't know what formation you're playing here as well, but I will see. Okay, Erin, who is your next pick?
What do I need? A centre half and a keeper. Right, okay, centre half. Has Alistair Johnson been picked?
No.
He's not. You could take him. I don't think I've seen him play at centre back, but you could put him there.
We've played defence, so actually, we'll have Ralston. That'll do.
I mean, he's not a centre back either, but
he is on Saturday in my team.
You could play Devlin at centre back, I suppose, but more of a back three. But so you're taking Johnson or Ralston?
Well, I say Johnson actually, because I think he's more adaptable for my defence.
Okay, I mean,
we don't have any centre halves, so can't take another Aberdeen one.
You'll need a few defenders, really, that Michael's picked his team anyway, because he's got Duke, he's got Cooney, he's got Ida, he's got Forrest, he's got Hayes. I mean, I don't know where he's playing Hayes. Is Hayes playing midfield to you? Michael. You're a time delay.
I've got Bojan and Kyogo, though, and I don't know if Michael's got any defence, so I think I'll be all right.
Right, Michael.
Right, I'm going to go for Mickey. Is it? What's his name again? So, Mickey Devon.
No. You can't have him because Aaron's picked him.
All right. Okay. Sorry. I was listening. I was just not listening. Yeah. So one more Aberdeen player, John. Yeah.
You need two.
I need two. I need
just one. No. Wait a minute. You need two.
Ah, right, okay. I forgot about this guy, Jamie McGrath.
No, you're no listening at all because Aaron picked him.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, that's right, yeah. That's it, I forgot about that. Angus McDonald?
No, right. My God. No.
I'll give you one, Michael. Jack McKenzie.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tim. Help yourself.
So, right, Michael, your possibilities that you could have, right? You could have Anthony Ralston, but you can't because he's not an Aberdeen player.
Mm.
Right? So, Aberdeen players, you could have Jack Milne, who won't start the weekend. Remember, Graham Shinney's not been taken. Leighton Clarkson's not been taken.
Oh, okay.
You've also I'll got have Martinman, you've got Jensen, you've got I mean, you've got Google there, so you better see.
Andy Povara's not been taken.
I'll have Link Clark. Yeah, Link Clarkson, yeah.
Right, okay. I definitely don't know what formation you're playing here. I think you're just playing Carter Vickers at the back and just on you go. Right. Erin, which keeper are you taking?
Oh, well, how good is he?
No,
Scott Bain's better. Scott
Bain is absolutely a hard no from me when he went and said it would be really good to go to a decent club. You know, Aberdeen, I'm far too good for Aberdeen. Andy Considine scored a hat trick against Scott Bain, which tell you everything you need to know about him. Absolutely not. I'll take Kelly Roos gone. What spaghetti hands?
Okay. Michael, which Aberdeen player do you want to pick that Aaron's already picked?
I'm going to go
my
for...
My captain, Angus McDonald, by the way.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to go for Ryan Duncan.
Possibly the worst player we've got. Right. Arguably, I would say now. Papa Gay's left. He's probably top 10, top two worst.
Oh, man. Andy and Graham, I hope the Rangers and Hearts draft goes better than this, right? Aaron, to be fair, Aaron's team... I will tell Aaron's team. And
problem is, Michael went for Aberdeen.
What's the better team, right? There's no contest here, right? So, and that's even with Kelly Roos in goal. So, Kelly Roos, I'm going to say Alistair Johnson, Nicky Devlin, Angus McDonald, Liam Scales, Jimmy McGrath, Matt O'Reilly, Callum McGregor, Dyson Meda, Bojan Miloski, Kyogo, which at least looks like a team that resembles a formation that play football together. Michael's got some kind of like Scottish equivalent of the Harlem Globetrotters going on here. Joe Hart, Ryan Duncan, Carter Vickers, Link Clarkson, Greg Taylor, Rio Itati, Duke, Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Ida, James Forrest, Johnny Hayes. If anyone can guess what formation he's playing there with that team, send us a tweet. Let us know.
It's a complete flippy, Craig Levine. It's a 4-0-6.
I was going to say that.
I don't know what it is. But as I say, Andy and Graham, I'm expecting some better efforts. Aaron's yours were good. Michael, you need a
problem. The Michael had is that he chose the Celtic players first, and I was obviously going to choose a couple Aberdeen ones early doors. So, left himself in a pickle. I think, do you know what? I actually don't think there's much between our two keepers. I think Joe Hart is a bit of a bomb scare. I'm shocked that you did not get a keeper at Christmas. I still think if you don't win the league, it will be because you did not get a keeper at Christmas. Bizarre thing to do.
Charlie, Graham and Andy, would we all agree that Aaron's team was much better than Michael's?
Comfortably.
I would say so.
Hugo Majovski up front, imagine it. Although don't imagine it too hard if you're a Celtic fan. Keep your paws off of him.
Aye.
Nice though, would it? Hugo Majovski. Oh, lovely.
Right, okay. So Rangers and Hearts takes place 3 p.m. on Sunday.
It's a normal time for a game to take place.
Well, not on a Sunday.
Well, more normal. At least it's not the middle of the morning or whatever. The spice our game wasn't at 8 a.m. 12:30, by the way, I will maintain is an absolute nonsense when you've got Aberdeen fans going. I live in Edinburgh and I'm actually going to stay in Glasgow on Friday anyway. But still.
At least when I change it to Saturday, not to Sunday.
Yeah, 12:30 Sunday, I suppose, is worse. But 12:30, just put it on at, like, surely you just put it on at 5:30 on a Saturday. It's not going to be a riot.
What's better for Aberdeen fans? Because they were moaning when we got the 5:15 or 5:30, whatever it was. Now they're moaning at the 12:15.
The 12:30 probably the 12:30 slightly worse, I would say. You can get, do you know what? I will say though, at least you can get there. Whereas Kilmarnock, 12:00 on Saturdays at Pittodrie, 12:00 on a Sunday at Kilmarnock, you can't get there from Aberdeen and vice versa. That's a joke. So
I think the reasons why they may get 12:15, I think why they didn't make it 5:15 early on Saturdays because it's on the two channels, BBC and Viaplay on Saturday.
And what the BBC got on at 5:15? Show our game.
Falkirk will be there.
Ariel's finished, so.
Falkirk will be the Alba game, eh?
Yeah, so just put our game on. I think there is very little thought to. I mean, it is better than the year they were going to play them both on the same day, to be fair.
Mm.
That was absolutely mental. Was that because they couldn't play one of them on the other day and then Celtic played Hearts at Murrayfield?
At Murrayfield, yeah.
Lewis Ferguson's diving header. What a day. Sorry, Andy.
Okay, so I went just play Hearts 3 p.m. on Sunday. They have faced each other 4 times, 3 in the league and once in the League Cup. So, first game went Rangers' way, 2-1. Shankland scored after 5 minutes. Tavernier, his usual penalty. And then Danilo scored the winner. The League Cup, Rangers won 3-1. Then there was a game in Tynecastle. Seymour scored the winner. Only goal of the game. And then the Hearts were in great form during the February's game. Everyone was thinking, oh, this could be a wee possible slip-up for Rangers, and Rangers won 5-0, comfortable win. So, I'll start with you, Graham. How confident would you say you're going into the game based on Rangers' recent form and Hearts' recent form?
Not very after that stat you just read out. I am going on Saturday, Sunday, on my own. None of my mates wanted to go. I'll go on Saturday as well, just in case. We've picked up, definitely. I was at the game on Saturday in Livingston. Thought we started really poorly. I did not expect that, but thankfully managed to come back. I think we've got a chance. We've got a fighting hope after what Ross County did yesterday. We need to show that same attitude that Ross County showed. And we've got to have belief, because I don't think we've had that against Rangers at all this season. The League Cup semi-final was disappointing. We didn't turn up, and it's been too often this season. But I think we are a better side now. I think Naismith is learning a lot of lessons, and I hope he's learned a lot of lessons after the last few games against Rangers. But, I mean, I'm not overly confident. I'm just hoping that we can turn up. But I think we have to score first to give ourselves something to build on, even something to hold on to. If we concede early, I'm worried. But yeah, I'm not overly confident, but we've got a chance.
I mean, you have caused issues this season at times in the games.
Yeah, we have, but I mean, the game at Tynecastle when Seymour scored, there wasn't much in the game. I thought we were all right, actually. A lot of Hearts fans were gutted. I thought we were all right. I thought we played better than a lot of folk thought we did. The game at Ibrox was disappointing. We didn't give ourselves a chance losing such an early goal, and after that, it's an uphill battle. And I just think there's been too many times that we seem to have this mental block against Rangers. which we don't have against Celtic. I don't get why that is. We've managed to beat Celtic twice this season, but can't beat Rangers. It's been shown that it can be done. Motherwell have done it. Kilmarnock have done it. Ross County have done it. Celtic have done it. We've got to show that we've actually got something about us. And Lawrence Shanklin, we've got easily the best striker in the league, without a doubt. I think we do have a few injuries. I think Moonhoff's out. Obviously, Craig Gordon was back on Saturday. Good to see him back. And Royal starting Sunday. But we've got to give ourselves a fighting chance. We can't afford to lose an early goal, because if we do, it could be a long afternoon.
I've got a question for you from Chris. It's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but can Hearts pretend that Celtic are playing and actually bother their arse to play for a change? Or should just to give Rangers a bye to the final? Stop the pretense.
See, this is something that annoys me. I hear people saying that Hearts lie down. Nobody lies down to anybody. It's just a simple fact that we've not turned up recently. And we have to put that mental block out of our mind and actually just have a goal. I'd rather get beat 3 or 4 having a goal than sitting back and defending for 80 minutes, because it's pointless. I'm expecting Rangers to dominate the ball. It's a bigger pitch. I think they'll have more of the ball. But if we get chances, we've got to take them. Ross County were really clinical yesterday with the chances they got. We've got to do the same. But we've got to be good on the ball as well. I have a feeling that we'll go to 3 at the back, which I'm not a massive fan of. But I'm hoping that Naismith learned lessons, because we've got to be positive against them, like Ross County were yesterday.
Aye, apart from Shanklin, maybe Vargas could be a match winner. Good record in the cup so far this season.
Vargas has been really good. I've been very, very impressed. 21-year-old, it's his first season here in Scotland. He left his young family. He's got 8 goals this season. I think he's really good. He's looked really good. I'm impressed with him so far. He could definitely cause problems if he plays. Potentially, Oda might start. Alan Forrest, again, who I think is probably one of our most underrated players. I think Forrest has been outstanding this season. So we've got options there. Also, Barry McKay was back on Saturday. Thought he looked really good as well. So we've got players that can hurt that Rangers defence. I don't think Goldson's looking brilliant. I think we can get at Rangers down their right-hand side with Tavernier. Yeah. But we have to cause them problems.
Aye. You're saying about Nuno being out. Obviously, apart from that, you've got your long-term injuries, Halkett, Heron and Boyce. So who would replace Nuno, do you think?
It'll be Devlin. I'd imagine it'll be Cammy Devlin and Benny, who I think is probably, when they first started together, they were actually a very good partnership. I think a lot of Hearts fans don't really rate Devlin. I do. He's a workhorse. He managed to get his goal on Saturday, which he deserved. I really like Devlin. I think he does a lot of unsung work that people don't see. I think him and Benny are a decent partnership in there, and they're going to have to be on it on Sunday. Because like I said, I expect Rangers to dominate. I expect late Lundstrom. And potentially Sterling, maybe a start for Rangers. So we've got to be in their faces right from the start. We can't allow them to dominate the game. But we've got threats up front that can cause them problems.
Yeah, especially after the way Ross County played against Rangers. So Andy, what's your thoughts going into the game after the disappointment of the result yesterday?
Yeah, coming off the back of the shocking result yesterday against Ross County, who fully deserved their victory. And we've also got a game, hopefully, on Wednesday night, wherever that may be played. So, we've game to prepare for on Wednesday before the semi-final. And it's a big one as well, given what happened yesterday. So hopefully we can get 3 points there. But regarding Sunday's semi-final, in regards to what Graeme said about Hearts, I fully agree with him there. Hearts are going into the semi-final similarly to Aberdeen against Celtic, but Hearts will have to go in. Hearts will go in on paper as underdogs. They'll have to test Rangers and play to their own strengths and test Rangers' weaknesses, which is in the midfield area and in defence as well, as has been seen in the last few games. I fancy Hearts to come out and have a go right from the off, but also to try and stay in the game. There's big players there for Hearts right throughout the team. Does Craig Gordon start, given his experience for the club, and he's only back from injury, and he's back, playing. He'll be a big player for Hearts. Devlin in the midfield, Barry McKay, who's on decent form, and the main man up top, Shanklin, as well. So they will cause Rangers problems, but on the other side of the pitch, Rangers will will cause Hearts problems as well. But again, Rangers should cause themselves problems, as has been shown in the last couple of weeks. So, yes, we have a game on Wednesday night, but I'm nervous going into Sunday as well, because we haven't played well the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, we've been leaking goals ourselves and the midfield. As I said earlier, John, off air, the midfield is like putting a knife through through butter. We're so easy to go through in our midfield, and we're a wee bit suspect at the back. Goldson, Tavernier, even if Barris sets us to play as well, you know. But we need to step up. You know, I heard Michael saying there earlier about Celtic. They haven't played well all season, but they're starting to come alive a bit in the business end, so to speak, the season, and it's about time Rangers started to do the same.
Yeah, so that's like maybe like the last few weeks of maybe the kind of first few tests, like under Clement's leadership. What do you think's made them so fragile recently? Has there been anything in particular? I know you said about the midfield, but is there like, I know you, selection wise?
John, to be honest, I'm not so sure what's made us so fragile. Is it down to injuries? You know, we've had a couple of injuries, we've had players coming back. Clement sort of seems to likes to change his team about. In the past few weeks, you know, starting Scott Wright out of nowhere last Sunday, plays Sterling left back against Celtic, doesn't play him in the starting 11 yesterday. Matondo, who's on decent form the past couple of games, he's got his name on the score sheet, again didn't start him yesterday. We're not scoring enough goals throughout the team. We're not scoring enough goals through our centre forward. So there's questions all over the pitch, you know, in terms of the Rangers team the past couple of weeks, and maybe I'm sounding a wee bit overly negative, but from where I'm looking at it from, we have been poor, and it has been coming the last few weeks. You know, if you even go back to the Motherwell game where Theo Bear absolutely demolished Goldson, you look at the Celtic game last week. It's just simple mistakes, and it's down to ourselves, and that's not, you know, no disrespect to the other teams who have played well and forced us into errors, but it's simple mistakes as well.
Yeah, Michael's got a question for you.
I was just going to say, Andy, looking at the Rangers game last week and yesterday's team, do you think Clement make too many changes and that kind of upset the rhythm of the team?
Yeah, quite possibly, Michael. As I say, he's made two games in a row, big calls as a starting 11s. Dujon Sterling, he's not a midfielder, but he's probably the best midfielder we have. And as I said there earlier, we're very easily broken through in the midfield area. Why not play Sterling alongside Lundstrom? They add a bit of steel or a bit of bite in the midfield, and also then he can go forward but also defend at the same time. So has Clement made maybe a couple of too many changes from a starting 11? I think so, but again, the manager picks the team, the players need to go out and deliver, and they haven't done that in the past few weeks.
Remember as well, Sterling was man of the match in the League Cup semi against Aberdeen.
Yeah, he was indeed, and he played well that day, you know. But it's a big pitch in Hampden, as we know. Rangers need to take the game to Hearts, but also be wary of Hearts' threat as well.
A few other things, like I know a lot of people have been speaking about the situation through the middle, up top. Would Clement potentially risk playing Roof from the start through the middle?
No, I don't think so. I think he'll go with Dessers. I don't think he'll start Roof. Again, Roof is a very good player. I still think Roof's the best centre forward we have, all round centre forward. But again, it's his fitness. He's never going to be fit enough to play 90 minutes, probably, or a couple of games on the bounce.
Right, okay. Good thing, at least, for the you do have Seymour back.
Yeah, it's a big plus. I was raising with him yesterday. Why he didn't try and head that ball instead of handling it was absolutely stupid. But Seaman's a good player. He offers a lot going forward, can take defenders the other way. So hopefully he can turn up on Sunday. But on the other hand, Fabio Silva, I was disappointed with his performance. Never mind his actions last week against Celtic. I was disappointed with his performance yesterday as well, amongst a lot of other players in the Rangers team. But it seems a big plus to have back, and hopefully we can get minutes into his legs again here during the week and going into Sunday as well.
I need to ask you as well, and this might not go down very well in your household because I know how popular he is in your household with your daughter, but the enigma that is Todd Cantwell, right? Because Todd Cantwell's got all the ability. He can be a great player on his day. Just that's not short enough. It's like reminiscent of Ryan Kent from you with Rangers.
Well, I hope Gracie's sleeping, she'll not hear me. Cantwell, he can be, as you've just said there, similar to Kent, he can be a very frustrating player. He doesn't do enough for my liking on the so-called big occasions. And again, that's similar to a couple of other players throughout the team, but he needs to start delivering on the bigger stage and also offering a goal threat as well. You know, I think there's a couple of goals in him, so he needs to start playing more consistently, as he did do, you know, just sort of after the Christmas period. But you can't go hunting cold in the Rangers team. There's nowhere to hide amongst the Rangers support. They'll let you know. So yeah, Cantwell amongst a couple of others needs to start firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. Do you expect any tombola selection on Sunday? Or do you think you know what team will start?
I'm not sure because, you know, given where this game's played on Wednesday night, if it's at Dens Park or whatever the venue's called nowadays, or if it's McDermott Park, that could play a lot of could have a factor to play in this team selection on Sunday, because the state of the pitch at Dundee Stadium is absolutely shocking. You know, so again, what way Clement looks at his team going into Sunday after Wednesday night's game performance or result, you just don't know. And again, a semi-final, it's a chance for players to grab a shirt and you know, chance to shine, I suppose.
Yeah. Right, okay. The neutrals, Charlie, first of all, what's your thoughts on the game on Sunday?
I was confident Rangers were going to win until recent form, but I still think they've got too much to beat Hearts. I think Hearts will beat them a game, though. I think don't think it'll be 5-0, that's for sure. I think it'll probably be 2-1 to Rangers, but I think Rangers will get the job done. Especially if Celtic win on Saturday, because they'll be looking to, you know, the treble's still on. So to win the treble against Celtic would probably be enough of a reason to beat Hearts on Sunday.
Aye, definitely. Aaron, what's your thoughts?
I think Rangers will do it. Set up another Aberdeen Rangers final, maybe. I think Rangers probably will. Would you rather Andy win the Scottish Cup or win the league?
Obviously, the obvious answer is to win them both, Aaron. But with your question, I would rather win the league.
Thought so. Yeah, I thought you would. It'd be interesting because I think you both want to win the league very much. We might end up with an Aberdeen Hearts final.
Who will do? Honestly, with football, you never know.
You don't know, do you?
1986.
It'd be quite funny if we beat Hearts in the final to take Europe off them.
No, it wouldn't.
It would, though, wouldn't it? Everyone else would think it was funny.
Yeah, any other thoughts on the game on Saturday? Sunday, Graham, sorry.
See, so you've done it. I know you said Saturday, too.
I know, it's your fault, like.
I just totally turn up. You know, I'm going there more in hope than expectation, hoping that we break this record that we got against Rangers. But we just have to turn up. You know, I hope it is a closer game than the 5-0 at Ibrox. It can't have any worse than that. But yeah, we just have to turn up. I just want to see a Hearts team actually showing something against Rangers that we've not shown for a while. So yeah, I'm not confident, but who knows?
Right, okay. So, Michael, Charlie, and Erin, it's your time to sit back. Well, Charlie, you've been sitting back. You know how to take part in the draft, which is good for you. But Erin and Michael, you can judge the teams here. Right, so okay. Andy and Graham, your turn for the draft. So I'm going to be... Oh, wait a minute. Like, this won't work this time. We've got Andy Rangers, Graham Hearts, right? Charlie, you can be the decider. Who's going first between Rangers and Hearts? Or Andy and Graham? We've got a coin. You got a coin there.
I think Andy should get to go first because his team lost at the weekend.
Well, I was going to say... you know what? I'll be nice to Hearts for a change. Hearts can go first.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Beautiful. That's what I like. Right. Well, we don't. Graham, who is your number one pick between the two teams?
Because we've got Lawrence Shankland. Easily.
Right. Okay. Apologies for the... I think that was sinning, I think they call it. But okay. Andy, who are you taking as your number one draft pick for yourself?
John, can I just clarify? I have to pick four players from the opposition.
Minimum of four, yes.
Right, okay. I'm not sure what formation. I'll work that out as I go along. But I'm going to go with Cammy Devlin.
Are you okay? You're getting in there. You're getting a Hearts put in there early, right? Okay.
I like him. I think he's a decent player too.
Okay. Graham, who are you taking next?
I am going Abdallah Sima.
Oh, right, okay.
And is it correct that I can't pick a player that Graham picks?
Yeah. So basically, once I pick, that's the end. I'm gone.
Okay. And you can pick a player that's either fit or not fit?
Aye, we'll allow it because we allowed it with the other semi, because it's fine, aye.
Forgive me if I butcher his name here. Is it Callum Neuenhoff? Neuenhoff?
Aye.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like taking the Hearts players out straight away, right? Okay. Graham, who are you taking for your third pick?
Rabi Matondo.
Rabi Matondo? That's you, and you've got your front three. So I'm assuming you're playing a front three, possibly. But you've got three attackers straight away there. Andy?
I'm playing 4-3-3.
Okay. Andy, who's next?
I think I'll go the same formation. I'll go for Jack Butland as my goalkeeper.
Jack Butland. I mean, this semi-final, either keeper that you could have, I'm saying either keeper because I know there's Clark as well, but I'm assuming, obviously, Graham, you've attempted to get a pass just now for the keeper, right? Because Andy can't pick two keepers, obviously. But it'd be good unless he wants to play like a keeper in midfield or up front or something like that. But so, Graham, who are you taking next?
My first centre-back is Frankie Kent.
Frankie Kent. Yeah. An important player in this campaign, last-minute win against Scotland. Mm-hmm. Andy, who you got next?
If I don't select this fella, somebody upstairs will be disappointed if she's to listen back. So has to be Todd Cantwell.
Okay, I'm glad to know that she listens. That's good. Another listener. Right.
Helps her sleep.
I listen to Graham sing. Or waiting for Michael to like pick a player in the draft. Right, Graham, who's next?
Playing alongside Frankie Kent is going to be John Souter.
Oh, John Souter. See, you've done a wee ex-Hearts player as well there.
And again, forgive me with the pronunciation, is it Beningame?
Beningame, give you that.
Beningame, apologies.
Is that how badly you rate your midfield, taking basically a full Hearts midfield?
So I've got Devlin, Beningame, and Cantwell just in front of them too.
I mind you getting Ueno as well.
He's playing out wide.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That way a new experience. But, oh, yeah.
Well, if you've got Alistair Johnson in the centre-half position of Aaron's team, why not?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's a cup semi-final, and how we choose to manage our teams is our own business.
Absolutely.
And it's absolutely no one's business where my players are playing. They'll be fine.
Liam is that a footballing man. Who's your next pick in the right?
Right back. Position? Right back is James Tavernier.
For your Pens, yeah.
That's
you win the game.
We'll not get the penalties against Rangers.
I think he'll still. I think if he's playing for you, he'll get them. I think it's him. It's a special thing.
Probably.
Right, Andy, who are you picking next?
I need to pick a centre forward and I don't know who to pick.
Well, you said so, Kiemann Roof's the best forward at Rangers, so...
Aye, well, go with Roof.
Right, Graham.
Left back, Alec Cochrane.
Right, Andy.
Yilmaz at left back.
Yilmaz at left back. There's no chance at all of him being fit as after the weekend. He's definitely out.
I'm not sure. I can't see it. I'm not sure.
Earlier, but I couldn't see anything about a return date.
No. Not as of yet.
Well, okay. And Graham?
Right, I've got three midfielders. Macaulay Tate.
Liam Balogun at centre half.
Balogun, right, okay. Right, so Graham, what have you got? You've got your Rangers contingent anyway. Minimum four, so who's your next pick?
I know he's injured, but I'm going to go Peter Haring.
Peter Haring. Also, but I played his last game for Hearts, didn't he? Like,
yeah, probably.
Andy?
Well, one more Hearts player to pick.
Yes, aye. You've got the three in midfield, aye, but one more.
I'm torn between two players. One's an ex-Rangers player. I'll go for Vargas.
You go for Vargas. Right, okay. Couple of goals this campaign, isn't he? Graham?
Even though he's not midfielder, I'm going to go Alan Forrest.
Alan Forrest. I mean, you could switch it. You could be a 4-4-2, almost. Or a 4-2-3-1. Certainly get a lot of attacking intent anyway. Right, Andy, so you've got... Well, assuming we're playing players in the correct position. You've got a right back and a centre back left, unless you're playing Balogun at right back. But I'm assuming he's playing centre back.
No, he's playing centre back, but I've got a right back and a centre half to pick still. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't pick any more Hearts players. Is that correct?
It's just basically you're only allowed a minimum. Got to have a minimum of 4 from opposition. So if you want more than 4, you can have more than 4.
Frankie Kemp.
Oh, he's been taken.
I'll go with Sterling's been taken. No.
Nope.
Who's on Sterling?
Right back.
Right back.
Yeah, okay. And then last but not least, keeper Graham.
Craig Gordon.
Gordon. Okay. It's been a good attempt for a first draft from you, Graham. Like it. Andy, who's your
just one pick?
In the back eye.
No, I can't pick John Suter. Connor Goldson.
Connor Goldson. Right, okay. So the two teams, we've got Graham has got Craig Gordon, James Tavernier, Frankie Kent, John Suter, Alex Cochrane, Peter Heron, Alan Forrest, Macaulay Tate, Ravi Matondo, Abdel Asima, and Lawrence Shankland. Andy has got Jack Butland, Duane Sterling, Conor Goldson, Liam Balogun, Van Yilmaz, Benny Beningame, I put say Nicky Devlin, Cammy Devlin, Callum Newenhoff, Todd Cantwell, Kenneth Vargas, Kiemann Roof, Charlie, who do you think is the best team out of two?
It's a hard one because I think the midfield battle is where that game will be won, and I'm not sure which of those sides would win it.
I mean, it's basically, there's no actually any Rangers midfielders in your team. Well, can't we?
No. Aye.
From three, so.
I think purely based on the fact that Shankland's in Graham's team, I'm going to have to give it to Graham because I think that's where the, out of those two teams, that's where it would be won.
Right. Okay. Aaron, what do you think? Who's a better team?
I think probably Graham's just though. They're both not bad teams, to be fair. I'd like to see them play each other. Well, they should just do that for a laugh one weekend. Just.
I'll just contact our club and say, look, she's just for a bit of fun. Can we no play with the real teams and just there be combined 11?
Would be as well. There's going to be no fixtures for after the split, so we won't play any games
Visit Dens
anyway.
Park, yep, whenever I see it. Michael, who's got the best team?
Yep, it's the first team I'm going to support Graham in my whole entire 2 years that I've known him, so I'll go with Mrs. Duffy in this one.
Thanks, boss.
Right, okay. Aye, that
Duffy.
was good. Some good attempts all round. Right, okay. Charlie. I mean, various speculation over the last week or so about Nick Montgomery's future. What is happening? What do you think is happening? Is there pressure there? Or was it just fans?
There has to be pressure, surely. Hibs are far too big a club to be in the bottom six. That there's a performance review going on just now. I seen a leaked email from our CEO Ben Kensel saying that his job and Montgomery's job is up for review. So that's a positive. But there has to be pressure on him. I've heard loads of Hibs fans say he's not had enough time, but he's had 29 league games. And a January window, that's more than enough time to get Hibs in the top six. It's been an absolute shit show of a season, to be honest.
I mean, what was I read earlier? He's won 11, lost 11, drawn 11.
He's won nine. Oh no, sorry. Hibs. He's won eight. Hibs as a whole this season have won nine games.
I don't know whether that was all competitions, maybe.
Maybe when the cups as
Potentially,
well, I could be.
I mean, a good friend of the podcast, Harry, reckons that under Montgomery, that Hibs have potentially lost 16 points that they should have won. I don't know how accurate that is, but
Is
is it
that
Harry's been not very good?
because of VAR or is that because of being in a winning position and drawing or?
I don't know. I seen it and I thought I would throw out there. But is game management not the greatest?
I think it's a collective of the managers' bizarre subs, and we've got a team full of absolute shitebags that can't see a game out. Saturday, prime example, 20 seconds away from being in the top six, and we throw away. It's just not good enough, and I'm beginning to lose a lot of hope and a lot of faith in the board and the management. I'm always one for giving managers time, but I think time's not on Monty's side.
Right, okay. I mean, I know it's one of those ones like Aberdeen keep on kind of having to change managers because not performing, but he's had what? He's had one transfer window and has brought in some players that have been kind of positive. But would it be fair to say that there's certain key positions that have not been addressed yet? Still, centre back, I know we've been maybe unlucky, but the general consensus maybe Fish and Bisheri, maybe both good individually, but not good as a pair.
We never addressed. Well, we brought in Nectar in January, but his best moment in a Hibs shirt is knocking two of his own players out in a free kick at Ibrox. It's just,
It was some
aye,
moment there, like I think.
it was brilliant. We've not addressed the goalkeeping position. We spent 700 grand on Dylan Vente, and he scored about four goals in the league. We've got a group of individuals. We've not got a team.
I mean, to be fair with Venti, that wasn't his signing.
No, absolutely. But it's just one of those ones that's Venti's our second most expensive signing in history, and to only have a goal return of four goals in the league, albeit he's been injured for a decent chunk of the latter half up until now. But it's just like when you're looking at looking, and this is no disrespect to any of the teams, but you're looking and St Mirren, Dundee, Killie are all finishing above Hibs, and you can include Aberdeen in that and Motherwell to an extent. We are far too big. Hibs and Aberdeen to be in that bottom six. I know it's mainly talking about Hibs just now, but there's something very, very wrong at Hibs to be our second bottom six in three seasons. We're just regressing under the current regime, and I think before long, you'll probably see fans start to properly protest like we did with Rod Petrie.
Okay. No surprise, but Graham wants to come in on this one. What's your thoughts, Graham? or what do you want to ask Charlie?
Yeah. I'm nice with Charlie on here. I did think Montgomery's comments after the game on Saturday were a bit strange when he talked about they went from jubilation to devastation. I mean, is it really jubilation to finish in top six? But I was going to ask Charlie, can Hibs afford to sack another manager? Because you've already lost Maloney, of course. You then lost Heckenbottom. You've lost a lot of managers. Surely, it can't all just be on the manager. I think it's got to be on the players as well. You've kind of mentioned that there. It can't all be on the manager. Now, I've had a discussion with Hibs fans. As much as I'm a jamble, let's try and see things kind of a different way. He's going to have investment come the summer. He will bring his own players in. I do think his best player just now looks like Malouda, who's on loan. If Hibs can keep him, it'd be a great signing. But it surely can't all be on Nick Montgomery.
No, I totally agree, Graham. And I think the big thing I keep landing on and the many discussions I've had with Hibs fans is that we can't keep a manager because we've sacked managers before. Like, if it's not working, you either need to say to Monty, look, you've got 5 games to save your Hibs career. You better win all 5 games in the split or you're out the door. Or we say, well, right, we're going to give you until Christmas. If things haven't improved, we shake hands and we disappear. But I think my biggest issue with Montgomery is when he came in new manager style, he said, oh, I've got a great squad here and I'm going to make them better. I would argue he's made 90% of that squad worse. Eli Yuan is as good as being sold in the summer. Like, he's no, I know he's our top goal scorer, top assist and goal combined, but he's made him worse. Martin Boyle is walking most of the game. Joe Newell isn't up to anything. Marshall, get rid. But you know, that's what I mean. It's like, he's promising all this, like, I'm going to make the team better. And I know it takes time, but it's just not good enough.
I'll ask a question, Charlie. Like, so see if he was to stay, how many changes do you think would be made to the starting 11, right? Against, if a new manager comes in and has their own ideas, how many players is he bringing? It is a difficult one because you're trying to get stability, but at the same time, he's underperforming, obviously.
Aye. I think out of that starting 11, out of the squad as a collective, there's probably 6 in there that I'd keep for next season. I know it's hard, but I'd get rid of the rest of them.
So it would be a full rebuild?
I think it needs to be a full rebuild from top to bottom, to be honest, John. I think we need to look at board level. Like, under this current regime, I think since the Gordons took over, we've had 6 managers in 5 years. Like, that should be up for review. I think the manager should be up for review. And I think every single player in that dressing room, whether at the club or on loan, should be up for review as well.
Right, okay. I mean, I feel we've been in this position before asking you this question, right? So if he goes, what approach do Hibs take in terms of looking at a new manager? Is it someone within the UK? Is it a similar approach to what looks like it's going to be happening at Pittodrie with Yimi Yilin? What do you think, Charlie?
He's managing Kilmarnock. I've said it since we sacked Jack Ross. Derek McInnes is the man for Hibs. I know he likes full control, and I know he's probably got a cushy number at Kelly, but I think with the backing that we've got, the $6 million investment, which we'll only all be spent on players, we'll probably get about $2 million. I think we'll sell players in the summer. I think McInnes is the man for us.
Hey, okay. I mean, anyone will know this as much as me. The understanding is that he is pretty loyal to clubs, and I believe as well, like, come on, if he's got a pretty good relationship with the board there as well, I don't think he would go to Hibs. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think it would happen. What do the rest of you think?
I don't know. I can't see him go to Hibs. Wouldn't be shocked by him going to Hearts. I think he's had a very good season at Killie, and I think they'll finish fourth, and I don't think that they will have a significantly worse season next year. I really rate him. And I said, mark my words, Killie stay up, they will easily be top 6. And I was actually, I thought 6th, 5th at push. But no, I think he has done really well. He took them up with what he had, and they will have said, we can't give you any money just now, but if you stay up, we'll give you some cash. And he's had some money and he has done brilliantly. And they're getting a grass pitch. Love that for him.
What about the SEA, Graham, Andy, Michael? What's your thoughts?
I think the yeah, Charlie was right. Hibs and Aberdeen should never be in the bottom six as well. But to be honest, and Charlie would know better than us, all of us here on the podcast tonight, but this program is not because Mick McGovern's been the manager. It's been the program for seasons at Hibs. I mean, when was the last time Hibs won a big game? Okay, they got a point against Celtic, but you could argue the case that Celtic were woeful that day. But Hibs never beat us. We were there for the taking. But, I mean, I don't know if you would agree with that point, like, Charlie, that this issue's been going on for years as well. And as Graham was saying, that sacking the manager all the time, that's not the answer, because then if you have, like, five managers coming in one season, you don't get any stability in your squad, and that's why you end getting at bottom six.
Aye, I think on the big... Hibs probably treat Aberdeen as big games, and we've won two of the three of them this season. But we've no won a derby this season, which we did last season. And I know derby wins for Hibs are few and far between, as Graham will love to hear. But I think we've just no won enough games this season. Never mind big games. Like we've no beat Ross County, we've no beat Motherwell, we have beat Dundee. Like we've no beat Sittmarin. And it's just like, that's the type of games, as Hibs fans, we, rightly or wrongly, are expecting to win. And no team's got a God-given right to win a game of football, but that's the type of games that if you're going to finish in the position Hearts have two of the past three seasons, that's the games you need to win. Never mind beating Celtic and Rangers.
This is what I said, and I said, you know, we should be beating Livingston, for example. I'm not saying, you know, that's how it works and these teams should beat these teams and that's it, because otherwise you wouldn't play the season. You would just decide who was first to 12th done. But there is an element of, you look at budget. Our players, we're probably spending, although Dundee seems to spend wild wages, to be fair, it's maybe a bad example. Compared to Livingston, the budget we've got, the players we've got, the resources we've got, should we beat Livingston? Yes. And our problem is we can't beat really anyone. We've had a win at Ibrox and we've had 2-0 at Spaghetti Hat. Or whatever they're called next season. It is a bizarre season because every game is a struggle. And then we pull things out like wins at Ibrox, draws with Celtic, Europe was good, a cup final. This is the third time we've been to Hampden. So it's been a very weird season, I think, for lots of teams.
Hey, Andy, you want to go in?
Yeah, Charlie, you made some very good points there, mate, regarding Hibs. My sort of question, and it's obviously I don't know a big lot about Hibernian, and it's just looking in from the outside. My question is, and I know you've went through numerous managers and it hasn't seemed to work out, you need to obviously put your trust in one manager, and that's, I mean, not from like a higher end level at the club chairman or the board level, and back that manager, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. In my opinion, Hibs as a team are a sort of run-of-the-mill team with players. You know, there's no sort of a real quality at a Hibs level. There's not really, in my opinion, again, too many good youth players coming through. You know, with me watching Scottish football over the years, you know, the Hibs teams that seem to cause Rangers problems, the likes of Brown, Thompson, Whittaker, O'Connor, you know, guys who were coming through at Hibs who were actually a half-decent youth level and good players at that. There's no one really there within that Hibs team that's that sort of quality. And yes, them guys eventually did attract bigger interest from Rangers, Celtic or England and move on. You got money for them. I think with Hibs having a wee bit of backing behind them, does the board back Montgomery, as you've just said earlier, in the summer and give him to Christmas or another season and say, there's a few quid, go and spend it, but also dip into the youth system as well, or improve that youth system? Because Hibs have produced good youth players over the years. Do they put their trust in Montgomery, or do they put their trust in McInnes or whoever it may be to give that money to spend? But they sort of need to bring a bit of desire throughout the team, which means a lot to the Hibs fans, but also a wee bit of quality within that team as well.
Aye, you're not wrong. I think this has always been my biggest thing with Hibs. I think I looked at that earlier, in the past, like, it's mental. Neil Lennon is our longest serving manager in a long, long time, with 2.5 seasons, which is crazy to think about. Like, you've got, I think Stephen Robinson's probably rivaling that at St Mirren now. And like, loyalty and the Scottish football as a whole, you didn't get a lot of time as a manager. You need to either implement your ideas quickly or you're at the door. And I think, listen, I'm on the fence with Monty. I do not care if he stays or if he goes. Like, I'm happy either way, because I've not seen enough from him to suggest that he is the man to lead us forward. But I think if the board come out and say, listen, we're going to back this guy to the hilt, then I'm fine with that, as long as we see signs of improvement. Now, Hibs have regressed since we sacked Lee Johnson. No question in my mind. You know,
that seems remarkable, didn't it? Regression.
Like, that is... Like, we sacked Johnson, and when Monty came in, I was like, aye, fourth's on. Like, we can 100% get that. And then we started... I think he was unbeaten in his first 6 games until we went to Ibrox. And then we went on that horrible run of form. And then we've not really picked it up since. So... I just don't know what the answer is, to be honest. I think we either need to back him properly and give him money in the summer, say, listen, bring in who you want as long as they're within the budget, get rid of who you want, or we need to say, listen, we've tried, it's not worked. And then the deeper questions come, because I think if the board sack him, then they're up for it as well.
And see Charlie recording the games against Rangers this season, watching Hibs, they seem to have started off well the first 15, 20 minutes and then sort of run out of ideas. And that's both at Easter Road and at Ibrox. They sort of just, right, we'll give it a go. And the way Montgomery set his team up to have a bit of a go, but also, again, be cautious at the back. But they sort of run out of ideas. And I know the sending offs and stuff didn't help in the cup game, but just sort of lack ideas, even more so in the forward area. And again, that's going back to the lack of quality up top.
I think we just don't have a plan B, to be honest. I think when plan A is not working, then it's right, we'll hope for the best, and we'll very rarely get the best. But it's just been a whirlwind season that I'm quite glad it's almost over, to be honest.
I think you call system the Mark Warburton system. If plan A doesn't work, there is no plan B, just make plan A work better.
Aye, feels like that.
He just wanted to throw at you, Charlie, right? Because see, at some point, this guy is going to get a bigger job and a lot of teams are going to miss out. It might be considered young, but he's got experience. Reece McCabe. Would it be a gamble or not? Because he's definitely a guy going places.
I think it probably is a similar gamble to what we have in Monty. Like, albeit very different leagues, but McCabe's I don't know how many games McCabe's managed, to be honest. Monty had done 60-odd at Central Coast. Obviously won our cup, which is similar to what McCabe's done. But I wouldn't be against it, but I'm also hoping that we're going to get somebody, not like Lee Johnson, but experience that has probably been there and done it a wee bit.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, because I do think he's a guy that's going to get a good job at some point, and a lot of teams are going to miss
him. I think he will manage in the Premiership. Maybe we Airdrie if they win the playoffs.
You never know, aye. The way they're going, aye. But we'll see what happens. At the moment, McGovern's still there, so who knows what will happen.
At the moment, we still have a manager.
We're going to talk about the split, but it's kind of been aired a wee bit round about. We'll save it for another time, I think. Because we're almost at time up for this evening. I wanted to give a couple of shout outs even. So Bleasdale has been doing some Euro 96 throwback specials. So just the listeners, get involved, have a listen. They're very good. I mean, it's lucky Josh isn't on, because he wouldn't be happy with this, but congratulations to East Kilbride, we're in the Lowland League. So they will take part in the playoff against either Brechin Fraser Brough or Bucky, an exciting title race in the Highland Leagues. And Michael, I don't know if you've been following this or any of the others have been following this, but the Cerebral Palsy World Championship has been taking place. Scotland have qualified for the final, which takes place on Thursday. Northern Ireland are in the mix as well. They could play in the final. I think it's between Northern Ireland, Chile and Italy. Michael, you've been following it much?
Yeah, I have been working and when I was on the computer, because the kickoffs are very early, 11 o'clock in the morning, they are here, 12 o'clock over there. But yeah, Scotland are doing well.
So we'll find out tomorrow who they will play on Thursday in the final. Andy, I don't know whether there's been much in the media in Northern Ireland about Northern Ireland's chances.
Yeah, I've actually a friend who's over there with the Northern Ireland squad. He takes to do a wee bit with the Northern Ireland Cerebral Palsy team, so I've been sort of keeping a wee eye on things and obviously seeing the Scotland result and stuff they always say as well. So, you know, as you know, my view on international football is not the greatest, but obviously wish both teams well there in the tournament.
So we shall see what happens. Aside from that, that's us for the evening. I would say good luck to all teams on the weekend, but I don't care as long as Aberdeen win. But
agreed. Neither of you win on Sunday.
What's that?
Neither of them win on Sunday.
Both disqualified.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe before the weekend, just disqualify Celtic, Hearts and Rangers. Give the trophy to Aberdeen.
Yeah, be as well. Done.
Tainted title. I mean, a lot of teams are happy with tainted titles. We'll take it.
Controversial.
Right, Andy, thank you as always for coming on. Pleasure to have you.
Cheers.
Graham, likewise.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate it.
Michael, we just couldn't get anyone else, so that's why we asked you. So
cheers. Yeah, make up the numbers. Cheers, John. See you soon.
And Charlie and Ed, pleasure as always.
Thanks, everyone.
Pleasure as always.
And a happy football.